you. And over to Nina. We always take longer than we think we're going to take.
Yes, I'll try and rush through. What I've done is to actually dump everything onto a PowerPoint. But I wasn't going to show you the PowerPoint, but I may just show you some slides from it. So, and at the end, I'd like, if we've got time, show a little video. But hopefully, I can get it up. But anyway, so let's see how we go. I have a number of riders. You really have a couple. One is that this is not my area of research, really. It is and it isn't. It's actually my area of action. I'm an activist professional, and essentially what I try and work on is the fact that I've spent my life as an activist. I haven't really theorised about that activism, except perhaps a little bit in the 90s when I was doing a master's thesis on resident action groups. So, but I, as an academic, I very much see myself as an activist professional. So I'll let you just read some of those aspects of what an activist professional does, or is meant to be, because I think it mirrors quite well this notion of social activism. But before, while you're reading that, I also like to acknowledge Ellen and Hillary, who've done a lot of work on this, and they will be involved in this. And some of the stuff that I put up here, of course, is also the work of Ellen, and as well in the project that we've been working on, too. So, and as I say, some of the stuff that I'm also doing was something that I did in the 90s. So if it's old, just, you know, tell me at the end as well. But there's one or two key people, I think, who work in social movements. I come from an educational perspective and also from, I suppose, a social movements perspective from the sociological area, even though I'm not a sociologist. So what I thought I'd do is very quickly, and you can read this yourselves because I'm not going to go through this, is try and look at this notion of social movements from that perspective, and then what Mel and Jennifer have done is to look at the complexity sort of, you know, thinking side of it as well. So, I mean, as we know, social movements emerge from the industrialised state, basically, and although there have been lots of other examples in non-Western countries, by the way, too, like, you know, Africa. But they're essentially perhaps a response to a discursive element in our society which is you know, resulting from alienation. But it appears that this notion of social movement theory is lacks explanations of the great chaos, which is not really chaos, but of the great disruptions that occur within an organising, sort of emerging organisational sphere, I suppose. And let me tell you a little bit about my activism. I was a councillor on Manly Council. I've also been involved in a number of social action groups, right through from environmental groups, you know, in my own community and in Sydney. But Manly with North Sydney was one of those early sort of movements where we have independent movements. I suppose actually challenging the existing order within that community, which was very traditional, very politically based in terms of party politics as well. So we started to form as a group a grassroots movement to counter that. And I can say a little bit, I could do an autoethnography in a sense to actually sort of mirror the sort of stuff that you're saying, Mel. Because clearly we had issues of connectivity and identity, and we have some commonalities which bound us together as a group. And we were very effective for about 20 to 5 years. The fact is the group doesn't exist anymore, although we still sort of hang around the edges. Okay, so this is, again, is just some backgrounds in terms of what theorists have said about notions of collective behaviour. What is it that binds us together? What are these features? And social movement theorists have been trying to nut these out from this perspective rather than from an organisational, you know, doing perspective. What are they actually doing? And in some ways, they haven't done it very well, because what they do is they lump together a manner of groups. And without really understanding machinations of some of these groups, I suppose. Okay? And that's, again, the sort of thing that Mel says. There's this organic sort of thing that's happening, but But, you know, some people want to be in it, some people don't want to, some people see it differently. So the notion of, I guess, marrying complexity theory, which looks at systems, perhaps in complex systems, with a social movement from the sociological perspective might be a good approach in itself. But the fact is that in many ways, quantifying the stuff is difficult. And we, the more we look at it, the more interesting things emerge. And of course, the other impact, of course, is technology. And that what I want to focus on this afternoon is the wonder of technology. And if you've been watching the Iranian situation at the moment, that's a fascinating thing. The idea of being in the vibe with it. What was the term you used in not freewheeling, you used that term of actually being within the movement and watching it. And we're not in the movement, but certainly we're observing what's happening in Iran, and it's fascinating. And I've got a little video of Clay Shirky, is that how you pronounce it? Shirky, talking about the Twitter, how people in Iran are actually using Twitter. And the tweets that are happening, and how mobile phone technology is bringing in those images of a massive social movement that's happening there. So that in itself is interesting. Okay, so let's then go from that broad sense in a very fast thing to Sydney, the great metropolis of Sydney, and what we looked at in terms of grassroots groups that use online activism within the Sydney region, okay? So what were their motivations in many ways? What are we looking at here? What is it that drives a group of people, young or old or whatever, to actually combine, to come together, to begin a social action? And essentially the social theorists like Melucci, Castells talk about identity, group identity. We are social beings. That's the thing. We want to connect. Whether we want to connect online is one thing, but essentially a lot of that connection is also through meetups, to connecting in a physical space, not just a virtual space as well. Okay. So the building of a collective identity, what is it that binds us together, is an important aspect of social organising and of social movements in itself. Okay, so in terms of then this idea of electronic activism, moving towards the three groups that we looked at, I again don't have a huge range of theoretical background in this, by the way, and some of you may well have more than I do as well. But clearly there are, I guess, some theorising that goes on. I know that Verity Bergman has also written a very good book on it, in terms of the, I suppose, the Sydney examples, but more global as well. So they talks about three areas of, you know, in terms of these online activism. And they come from, don't forget, the MoveOn.org movement in the United States, which was essentially focused on Clinton, the post-Clinton, you know, when Clinton was having huge troubles with issues related to the women that he was associating with, one would say. You know, so there was that was the origins of the MoveOn.org, the Monica Lewinsky issue, that it was time to move on from here. So there was one of the initial ones. Of course, Howard Dean in 2004 then used it as well, and then of course Obama has used online activism to a great extent. The book that I have there is Clay Shirky's book, He Comes Everybody, Power of Organising Without Organisations, and I'll talk about that a little bit more a bit later. So, what do we look at? I don't want to leave you time to actually discuss this. We looked at three groups within the Sydney region that were using aspects of online as well as physical space meetings. GetUp, Project Australia and VibeWire. Project Australia and VibeWire are small groups. Project Australia was actually started by, well, James would know. Yeah. Donnie.
Oh, Don, really?
Yeah, Donnie McClurkin. And I've been involved in the organisation of this with him, you know, in some ways. But essentially, he with his mates, but we'll talk more about this in a moment. And VIWAI again is a small body of young people who were seeking, I suppose, to generate some activity with like-minded people who have essentially a vision, a social justice mission, as well as a like-minded view on the world, I suppose. Okay? And the aspect of this is very important, is that it's actually participatory. The wonderful thing about online activism is that you feel you're involved in the democratic process. Okay? But the fact that these were interconnecting and connecting up with the Sydney Mechanics School of Arts, and if you don't know the Sydney Mechanics School of Arts, it's a fascinating organisation that goes back to the 1830s and is a node in many ways for the coming together or different groups within Sydney. It's in Pitt Street. It has an 11-storey building down there. At the moment, actually, it's changing its structure slightly because the person who was one of the key agents in there, Stephen Cooling, has moved on. And he was trying to make it a centre for social change. That has actually changed a little bit since last year, in actual fact, when we were doing all this work. So it's quite interesting in itself. But the role of SMSA within these three organisations is a fascinating... in the fact that they used its resources to meet, they used it as a venue to connect, and the people within that, like Stephen, were very instrumental in bringing those groups together. Well, let's have a look at some of this stuff. Now, GetUp, as I say, comes from that online organisation movement of the United States, and in actual fact, when it was first started, I had a meeting with Lachlan Harris, who now works for Kevin Rudd, saying, "This is a brand new organisation, Nina. We want to see how we can get it up, etc." I was actually then involved, heavily involved in politics in New South Wales, so it was fascinating for me to watch it grow. He's obviously, as I say, since moved on, but it is interesting in the sense that the young people we spoke to. Again, it's a young people's movement. Again, fascinating. The people are actually contributing. The 300,000 that are actually members, a large proportion of those are older, middle class women in their 40s, 50s. So the people that they draw in are not just young, even though it's different, driven by a young group of people. But their agenda is participatory. They're trying to get people, it's a grassroots thing of trying to get people to tell them what their issues are. They claim to be apolitical, but again, it's driven by the people who actually link up with them, who send in the emails. And clearly I'm sure people are researching it as an organisation and the success it has had in a number of activist projects. Okay. So this is going back to Project Australian VIWAI. This is Don's comment. Don is in his late 20s, a young person who basically has a social outlook in terms of a political agenda, is progressive, and clearly realised he had colleagues, friends who were like-minded, had the capacity to basically try and start, to gather these people online initially. He then organised a bunch of more, I suppose, older mentors, and I was looking after the education side of things for him as overseeing the aspect. But he had young people organising particular, I suppose you might call, portfolios. And again, I'm not quite sure what's happened in the last 12 months or so. When we were doing this research, he was organising online projects, but also he was organising meetups. And this is one example of them in 2006. But clearly there are issues here of leadership as we speak. I mean, it was a distributive model to an extent, but he was very much the initiator of this particular one. Okay. And VIWAI is, and Ella might help me out with here, it's really, again, a very small organisation which is much more focused on creative projects that it tries to engender young people to get involved in. It has a social mission, but it's less so, not as much as Project Australia or Get Up. But they have commonalities and they share resources, physical spaces, as well as collegial networks. And of course, as I say, they connect up with the SMSA. I won't go on about the SMSA, but it is a fascinating institution and I think we should have more, to be more involved in it. But its board is quite interesting in itself. Yes.
That's our next study.
But it's another study, yes, that's right, it's another study. Okay, so, and they connect up with other groups as well. But of course they have challenges, and these challenges are related to resources, to people, the fact that people move on, the fact that, you know, working with voluntary groups is very difficult in itself, you know, technology, resources, all of these issues continually come up as issues to be dealt with. When we last spoke to VibeWire, they were very, you know, in a difficult position as to whether they could continue or not. In terms of looking at the notion of sustaining of these networks, some of these points were ones that we're elaborating. Clearly, although the model of leadership is distributive, although there are difficulties with the leadership itself, what does it mean? There are people there, I guess. There are key people there who are the drivers behind it. And they're, as I say, some of them use older mentors or more experienced mentors. And to ensure, I mean, social movements do have a life cycle. But perhaps if we focus more on succession planning in this, and again, that's a leadership concept, but how do you deal with this in a social movement or in a horizontal movement? This is interesting in terms of, you know, capacity to use the technology, great, but these days it's a question of actually being able to break through, being able to be effective in the way you use it, being able to target, getting through the online noise, the massive amount of information we get. And of course the key issue of planning and organising resources and the notion of identity. These were all important issues about sustaining these networks. Just quickly in terms of here comes everybody, these are the five key points, or a few key points, that Shirky makes about the current situation. And he basically says, look, everybody now has the capacity to be an activist, to get out there. Everybody has to be involved, at least. Even the marginalised. And of course, there are examples there of how Obama used the campaign very successfully in the US. And I was in Missouri in September last year, and this was obvious in the office of the Obama campaign office that I went into. And also in terms of, again, looking at the scale of this, but it's got to be a targeted scale. You can reach millions, but there's no point if they're not going to be effective. So it's got to be effective access as well. As I said, another key theme, it's direct democracy. It's collaborating with everyone who's interested in the process. And it's an important aspect. And it leads to the destruction of hierarchies in many ways, because everybody can have a say. Citizens get out there, can have their blogs. And it's essentially cheap. And I didn't know this, but mobile phones, it's a huge level of penetration. So I haven't really seen anything else there in terms of actually looking at that level. Yeah. So, and he talks about other movements in Africa, for example, as well. Well, you can look at it yourself, but it's fascinating, though, because he talks about the use of mobile technology, you know, mobile phones, and that, you know, that Twitter was one of the key important aspects of social movements, particularly in this situation with Iran. And I think, Ellen, you said that the BBC was actually playing some of the Twitter.
What they did when you couldn't get any reporters
on the ABC, the only news was all the images came from the Twitter.
Yeah, and what the BBC, I was listening on the radio, and what they did was just summarize all the Twitter messages and explain that they couldn't verify anything, but that was all they could get out, and this is what we know.
So, thank you, Nina.